Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody wants to win a world championship. And for that to happen, my goal is for this team to pay attention to details. Show up every day and try to take advantage of certain situations during the game, either base running, defensively, offensively, or pitching.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and that is the voice of Alex Cora. And he has mutually decided to leave the Red Sox because he is going to most likely be suspended for quite some time.
By the way, put Dan Wetzel of Yahoo in the brand new, rapidly growing bandwagon that Alex Cora should be banned for life from baseball. So, which is ridiculous. No, but
the only thing that, again, gambling should be the only thing that you get banned for life, because You're compromising the outcome of the game.
Well, you're kind of doing that if you know what pitch is coming. Yeah, but, and that's the point that Wetzel's trying to make in the article, and I understand that.
But if you're gambling, especially if you're gambling against your team. Okay, I'll give you an example. Even if I'm gambling for my team, I might use my bullpen differently and burn them out for one game when...
Right, win now instead of realizing what the implications would be down the road.
Right, and so if... You know, if the outcome is already determined, there's no point in playing the games. I mean, that's the one thing that could ruin baseball. So I think Cora will be a manager again. I just think that, you know, he's going to need 2 years off, and then, you know, someone will hire him again.
After a lot of press conferences, I've learned my lesson. I had a lot to think about over those 2 years.
And the other thing, boy, being liked goes a long way. Liked and respected, and everyone loves Alex Cora. And I know it sounds strange, but in 2 years, this isn't going to seem like as big of a deal as it is now. I mean, I also wonder, what is Major League Baseball going to do to change all this? Are you going to get rid of the replay camera in the other room? I mean,
that's exactly what you're going to do.
So you got to get rid of that. I mean... And I guess it's just that simple, isn't it? If you get rid of that, doesn't that pretty much solve everything?
Well,
because then you just go back to old-fashioned signal stealing, which everyone did, when that's just, if you're smart, you can figure it out, not using any kind of because the problem's the electronic devices. That's why they're getting in trouble. Sign stealing's been around forever, but it's using electronics to do it. That's what's biting these guys in the ass.
A guy I don't respect has come out and reported that, oh, well, it's on a 10-second delay, and they wouldn't have known what was going on, and I assure you there's only one monitor.
It's not a 10-second delay. According to the reports, it's real time.
I'm just telling you what the reporter said. He was very, very on top of things in saying that there's no way they could cheat.
Well, there is some interesting stuff coming out now. It's kind of like, remember the end of The Usual Suspects when Kevin Spacey's sitting there and you start thinking back about all the things that he said and you're like, oh, now it all makes sense. So Alex Cora, he has been saying a lot of things about sign stealing in the past. He's been asked a lot about it. And here is a clip that I find to be somewhat interesting. And this is from 2000, this is from last year. Do you remember when the, boy, this seems like forever ago. Do you remember when the Red Sox went to London to play the Yankees? Okay.
Yeah.
At the time, Carlos Beltran, who was now the manager of the Mets, he had just left the Astros. They had just won the World Series, and he ended up getting hired as, wasn't he like an assistant to the GM there? Like
a special assistant.
Yeah, a special assistant.
I don't know. Is that right?
But it was like an interesting position that they had there. And Alex Cora was asked during that series what he thought about sign stealing. And he starts going into, once again, Carlos Beltran, who was on the team that Cora was on and is getting all this trouble for now.
Question for you is on the whole propensity of sign stealing and the focus on tipping of pitches. And you had the thing with Houston in the other series, and now Machado, but some people are thinking he's at second base stealing signs. What's your assessment of the whole thing, and why is there so much focus on it now?
You just have to be prepared as a team. That's the only thing you can do. Stealing signs and tipping, it's been going on for forever. I learned in Miami, in college. We used to do it. I don't know if that's good for the program, but yeah, we used to do it. And then I play with in winter ball. You know, it really doesn't matter how talented you are. You better know the game and pay attention to the game, because you're not playing double A or A ball. You know, I was in 1996. I play in Vero Beach, Florida, and then I play winter ball, and I'm playing with big leaguers. And then that's when you learn. Start paying attention to details. In 2000, I played for Sandy Alomar Sr. And Sandy, he was a guy, he will always tell you, you know, the game will tell you something. You just have to pay attention to it. The scoreboard is not for the fans. The scoreboard is for the players. Outs, innings, strikes, all that stuff. If you pay attention to that, something is going to tell you what to do.
And the great thing about all this is Dan said in my headset, you're listening to it, she's like, dude, just stop talking.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Like that one clip that we played earlier, too, where he's just talking about, and he goes, well, you know, I don't mean to introduce electronics into it. You're like, ah, dude, it's exactly what they don't want you to do.
Again, I don't know why anyone would care that an American League manager is fired. I mean, look at what happened to Madden when he was in Chicago. He won the championship because he had a ton of talent, and then he lost control of the team.
Here's why, and it's because you've seen what a guy like Bobby Valentine can do.
Okay, Bobby Valentine is an idiot.
I know, but you need a leader of men.
And succeeded in the National League, came to the American League, was horrible.
It's just not as easy.
Wore glasses and a mustache.
Went to the World Series with the Mets, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a really good team. He went to the World Series and got bludgeoned. But
made it there and then came to the American League and was horrible.
Yeah. So
clearly the American League is the tougher league.
Yes, to manage. Absolutely, John. You've hit the nail on the
correct.
Head. So, again, I have a pitching coach, a bench coach, a hitting coach. I have everything at my disposal, a bullpen coach. I don't have to do anything.
You have all those things in the National League, too, don't you?
Yeah, but I have to double switch. I have to figure out who I put in for defensive purposes and where I'm going to put them in the lineup. You know very well that that's a much more difficult job.
It is. It is more difficult because you have to worry about double switches. But the job has basically the same people working under you in either league, correct?
Yeah, but I can't go by. In the American League, I have my lineup.
Yep.
1 through 9.
Correct.
Okay.
I know the double switches make it difficult. You have to make sure your pitcher hits fourth because your cleanup hitter made the last out of the inning. I understand that.
Right.
And you want to push that pitcher spot down as far as you can. I get it.
Right. And then if I make a defensive replacement, where do I put him in the order and so on and so forth?
So this is kind of interesting. And once again, this is from Dan Wetzel, who believes that Alex Cora should get a lifetime ban. And the whole reason is he starts off talking about the only two people who've gotten a lifetime ban, Pete Rose. And was it Shoeless Joe Jackson for the 1919
Chicago
Great
White Sox?
Great movie, Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out.
Great movie.
It ain't so, Joe.
That's right. Well, he put when MLB finishes this, even though the Red Sox have already taken action, It will have to ask itself, what's the difference between Cora and Rose and Jackson? There is no known gambling component, but Cora presumably altered the outcomes of two World Series. The sport was cheated. Players were cheated. Fans were cheated. Who cares if a gambler somewhere did or didn't make a big buck off of it? Sign stealing has a long history in the sport, and there's always been some element of gameship to it. There's a reason, blah, blah, blah. Yet with advanced technology, it has been taken to the next level. The future of the sport rests on the fans believing that they are watching that what they are watching during a given day, let alone that the World Series is a fair athletic competition. Without that, what's the point? And he talks about how they have a disaster on their hands and how this just continued, all the people that were affected by all of that. But I mean, I understand what he's saying. Still, a lifetime ban seems utterly insane at this point.
This next step, while bad, is just the evolution of sign stealing from the 50s, 60s, yeah. 70s, 80s. It's the logical next step. The main part of this story, which constantly gets overlooked, is that the reason why the Houston Astros suffered all their penalties, the reason why the Red Sox are going to suffer equal penalties, if not worse, is that Major League Baseball told them not to do it, and they went ahead and did it anyway.
And the other thing, too, is who else is going to get implicated in this? Like Dave Dombrowski, you know, there's some clips that are creeping up from his past, too.
Do I think sign stealing is wrong? No, I don't. I guess it depends how you do it, but I've never thought it's wrong. I guess everybody in the game that's been involved with it and throughout the years, it's an edge. People are trying to win however they can. It's an edge that they try to gain. And sometimes, your sophistication of signs can make a difference.
Although if I'm him, just sit out and don't do anything anymore. You've had a nice full career.
Well, I mean, you steal signs. It is part of the game. You just don't set up elaborate video systems. It's just like you want a guy on second base that's trying to figure things out.
Now, the word elaborate's always hysterical when I think of trash cans. Kong, Kong. Like that's what you got. If Alex Cora ends up like being suspended for the rest of his life, it's a lifetime ban. How funny is it that he did it because they knocked on trash cans? Like, this wasn't Mission Impossible. This was me hit trash can, me make noise.
I wonder what it was like with the Red Sox. What did they use? What kind of elaborate scheme did they use? Did Cora like hold up his hands or snap his fingers or something like that?
It was Pedroia doing armpit farts.
That's right. That's right. There it is.
Alex Cora would stand in a trash can.
Yeah. Thank you, DA. You have not left in a while. You love sticking around the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, DA. Sometimes squish. I know DA is coming because your fingers start moving before you actually do the voice.
Squish, squish.
I can see in the corner of my eyes these fingers.
Chicken carcasses.
What? That's weird.
What just happened?
Salmonella, my friend.
What? I don't know. DA, I don't know why you're obsessed with salmonella.
All right.
But somebody who's obviously probably feeling as if he has salmonella, Dan Roach, he is probably in a dark place right now. We need to cheer him up. We need to check on him, see how he's doing. Mr. Red Sox baseball himself.
This is Fred's chance, man. This is it. If there's ever going to be a day where Dan is depressed
and can't get
pushed.
This is a day we need to bring him up. He's in a dark place. Look, not push him into his
this
grave.
This will be the true test of the difference between the two of you. You look at it that way. I think Fred looks at it as Dan is weak. This is the chance. Because it's well known every time Dan comes on here, Fred looks at it as a chance to wreck the guy who's full of positivity.
Dan is so sad that he has cleaned out his suite like never before at Fenway Park.
That's right.
And I heard he moved back to his house that doesn't exist in Connecticut.
Right. All right. Back with Danny Roach.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey.
Friday's now the fun day, not only because you come in and do the show on Friday.
Lawrence Maroney.
Talks.
Did you watch cartoons growing up? Did you watch the robotic ones like Transformers and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I was Bugs Bunny guy. All right. Patriots had their final practice this morning down at Gillette Stadium.
Make this an APD in here today. An all positive day. You just smile. What do unicorns eat? I thought I would enjoy my life as I get older. I hate it. Mickey
and the Doodle.
I couldn't find the Roach theme. Hang on, is this it?
Dan Roach and I.
Oh, there it is. Well, he's trying to come on because he tweeted he was coming on. There it is. My favorite clarinet solo from John Wall. We got him?
No.
I'm worried about
him. Oh.
We don't have him?
Uh-oh.
He's tweeting. Or something. Oh, something wrong with the cell phone.
Ah.
No. He threw it against the wall too many times yesterday.
He buried it with his dad.
I mean,
this is going to be fun.
It does kind of suck, though. I mean, if you're like a reporter and you finally have like a manager that is easy to talk to and somebody you like, and then... You know, who knows what you're going to get next. But on top of that, I mean, he probably cried when Valentine was let go. So
I don't think
you're
so.
You're not humiliated like you were with Frank Kona that with him just taking dumps while you were talking to him. All right, Dan Roach on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Dan.
Hey.
How you feeling, buddy?
All right.
So you know your team is dirty cheaters, right?
You know, a little.
They just cheated a little
bit. But you love the purity of the game. That's part of what drives you to it. You love Mom and Pa America. I mean, this is what, you know, helps you get through life. And now...
Well, and that's why I like what Commissioner Manfred did. Morning, fellas. How are we doing? Hope everyone's well.
Shut up.
I like the fact that he stepped in and he's you know, put the hammer down here on these teams that he specifically told. And you know, I've said this in the past. It's like he told your child, you tell your child not to do something, they do it. So the first time you let them kind of a stern warning and you may do something, you know, a little bit of grounding or something like that. And then if they continue to do it or do it again and do it worse, you put the hammer down as a parent. And I think that's what Rob Manfred's doing, and it's good for the game. They got to clean the game. There's just too much going on around the game.
I agree with you. Okay, so in all seriousness, so you're not against sign stealing as a practice, correct? I mean, it's
because it's been going on forever,
right? So the problem that I love baseball, and the problem, all joking aside, so the problem is that people have gone too far with it, correct? Is that having a guy on second, watching film of a team, that's acceptable, but what they've done is gone too far.
It's gone way too far, and that's the issue that I have. It's just, you know, you're trying to do different things from the banging the trash cans and what have you to tell the guy what exact pitch is coming. Guys will look for certain things, and the shame of it all is Alex Cora is very, from what I know and understand as a player when he first came here and all the way through his career and as a manager, he's very astute at picking up little things. You know, a pitcher throws a certain pitch because his knee bends a certain way when he throws a fastball as opposed to a breaking ball. You know, those kind of things. But when you take the electronics, which is where the game has gone with the analytics and everything else, you know, J.D. Martinez is using his iPad at the cage to have someone videotape him. There's that extent of it. When you take it that far and are able to relay it up and through the web and get it to somebody quickly, bang a trash can, and they know a fastball's coming, to me, that's blatant use of it.
Because
that's
everyone can get around. Because I was at a bar briefly, I swear to God, briefly yesterday. And these two guys were saying, well, you still have to hit the ball. But, Dan, you know as well as I do, if I'm in the major leagues and I know a fastball is coming, I ain't going to be in the major leagues for long if I can't get around on that.
Well, exactly, and some guys don't like it. You know, you know the quirks of baseball, Fred. I mean, you guys all know is that some guys will get it in their head if they step into the batter's box. They're like, no, I just want to focus, see ball, hit ball. You know, like a Hanley Ramirez. Other guys would welcome it, and if they see a fastball, it's a huge advantage for them. And that's where you run into the difficulties. So the shame of it is, you know, with the Red Sox being investigated from 2018. Yes, they won 108 games in the regular season, but they won 11. They went 11-3 in the postseason, and there was no use of that. They could not do that because MLB put security people in those video rooms so
so that nobody could do that, and they went 11-3. So they didn't need it. That's the thing.
All right. Well, then, do you believe that the 2018 World Series championship is now tainted and forever should have an asterisk?
I mean, it's tainted, yes, but you know, we could say that about a lot of different sporting events and different teams. And
no, this
like
one
that,
specifically, as a Red yeah. Sox fan, yeah. is it tough to admit that this is going to be a championship that will now have asterisks next to it?
Yeah, I mean, it should. You know, it's in my mind is that, you know, they won 108 games in the regular season, and we'll wait and see what happens when it comes to what the commissioner and the investigators find. But for now, you sit there and say, sure, you know, would they have won, you know, 90 games or 95 games? And would it have been different with the Yankees and everything else? So, there's all kinds of layers in this story. And you guys have talked about it all morning. Carlos Beltran's another one with the soundbite when they, you know, each team scored about 40 runs per game over in London. And Alex was talking about, you know, the addition of Carlos Beltran was huge for them. And he's in the, you know, mentioned in the 2017 report. So, I'll wait to see what happens with him. The Yankees could be investigated if they look into Beltran, and he was with them last year as an assistant to the general manager. They could be investigated if they find some things on Beltran, if he was a key guy in 17 and then maybe in 19. So there's all kinds of layers that I think still need to come out. But the bottom line is, you know, without one of the brightest minds in the game, a communicator who has developed guys like Bogaerts, and help Mookie Betts get to an MVP type of level. That's just the shame of it. Eduardo Rodriguez developed so well into what, an 18-19 game winner last year. So you're losing a brilliant baseball mind in Alex Cora, who created a culture there. And now you got to try to find someone to fill in here, a stopgap in a critical year with a brand new GM and all kinds of salary things that they want to do going forward. It's a mess for the Red Sox right now.
All right, I think the notion that Cora should be suspended for life is ridiculous. Do you agree?
I agree with that. You know, and you guys know this in life, time will take care of wherever he's headed. You know what I mean? Like,
but would you hire him?
Years,
Dan. Okay, so we agree on that. Would you hire him? Say he's suspended for 2 years, which is what I think is going to happen. I think he gets another shot at being a manager. Do you agree?
I think as time goes by, life, you know, people tend to forgive. And knowing Alex and you know, knowing the person that he is, I think that, I think eventually he could be given another shot, as I think A.J. Hinch will probably be given another shot. Jeff Luhnow, from what I understand, is, you know, one guy that I don't think anybody wants to give a shot, perhaps for the future, and is not well-liked in the business. But I think the two managers, Hinch and Cora, will be given eventually. It's going to take time. May eventually be given managerial, if not bench coach, what have you, spots with the team.
Well, it's considering the GM had a password that was like password, and the Cardinals were able to steal all their information because I think it legitimately might have been password, was the password to their information. Perhaps that would be a negative on his side.
So who do you think should be the manager then?
Keep in mind that Major League Baseball is looking into all the Red Sox coaches. You have no idea who knew what. Yeah. And if someone knew about the scheme and didn't say anything, they're going to be penalized too. So can the Red Sox really hire, say, a Carlos Feblis or a Tim Hires or anyone else on that staff?
Well, I'll give you three layers, John, on that one. Let's start with if they go internally and if the investigation shows that there was no other coaches involved, then you would go Ron Renicki. He's been in the game forever. It managed the Milwaukee Brewers for 4-plus seasons, made the NLCS, I think, in 2011, somewhere around there, 2013. I can't remember. But he would be a guy that you could tandem with a guy like Jason Varitek to make him a bench coach. People are saying Tech. I think this might be too much for him right now, where he's at in his career is developing as far as the manager is concerned. So that would be one. The other thing is that you have an opportunity here if you're Hein Bloom and you can John Henry and Tom Warner and Sam Kennedy to say, "On, you know, we brought you in here to kind of, you know, reset everything." You have an opportunity if he wants to bring in the bench coach, for, you know, who's been a finalist for Pittsburgh and San Francisco, Matt Quartaro, who's the bench coach for the Rays and Kevin Cash. He could come in. He could start fresh. You could do whatever you wanted with the salaries and everything else. It might be a little bit too much for him, though, too. And one guy that I would consider, I talked to him, he just retired, is Bruce Bochy. This talk that he still wants to stay in the game, still would like to manage perhaps. Maybe a veteran has got that instant respect, has won 3 World Series, would get the respect of the veterans, the pitching staff, and everything else. He'd be a guy that maybe I'd bring in as a stopgap for 1 or 2 years, too. So I think you have to look at it from a lot of different layers. And once the Department of Investigations gets done with baseball, then I think you determine from there which direction you're going to go. But they may just hire Renicky right now for a stopgap to get to spring training before any decision is made, because they have to get going as a team coming up in about 28 days.
Now, when you found out that Cora was fired, did you immediately go on the internet and book a new vacation down at Disney World? Just to make yourself feel a little bit better?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I got a lot going on, Rich. It's my daughter's final senior softball season, so I don't get to watch her play anymore. So there's that consideration. I need something to pick me up, but, you know, I can always turn to Disney, but, you know, we'll see. So, but it was tough.
Have you done Galaxy's Edge yet?
No, I haven't. I'm dying to do that, though. It should be a blast. I hear great things about it.
Call yourself a Disney fan.
Babs in a lot of controversy right now because a professor made a sarcastic comment on the internet and was fired after one day.
That has nothing to do with athletics, though, Fetty.
Nothing to see here.
What's wrong with you?
Get your priorities straight.
That's why you go to college.
That's right.
I mean,
that's where all the money goes. Where all the tuition money goes.
What is this academics you speak of?
Would you like me to buy this sweatshirt for $70,000? Sure.
Yes, indeed. All right. So you, the daughter, who's lovely, by the way, but so she's a two-sport athlete. When she plays her last game, that's like it for you, right?
Yeah, I won't even be able to look at her. I'll probably have to like drive home before I even consider talking to her after that game. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Real hard.
Is your son still in the Pacific Northwest?
No, he's home, and he's getting ready and looking around baseball again for another job. So I guess that's how you do it in baseball, is you start the totem pole. So he's been with the Mariners short season team. He's been in Frisco AA, and last year he was with the AAA Sacramento River Cats, who won the national championship, doing some analytics, doing some on-field work, some other things. So he's on his way. He just needs a break, like us all.
Yeah.
Is he doing any sign stealing for him?
No, I didn't even talk about that with him. Not going to go there, Rich. No, thanks.
Okay, so he's back home, huh?
Yeah, it's good.
Kind of devastating.
He's a company.
Yeah. In a way, though, you're disappointed that he's back home. You never thought that was going to happen.
No, I wanted to get going. You know, get a career, keep going. Let's go. So
maybe
it's all good, though.
What did he get a job like at Chili's or something? I mean, he's got to pay his way.
Yeah, eventually. You know, we're looking at that, too. All kinds of options, you know. But I can tell you, Trailer Park Pam's in the best shape of her life, looking great. So everything's good.
Trailer Park Pam?
That's what he calls his wife.
Yeah, that's what we've called her for years.
Why? What is she, like some kind of hick?
Because she watches, every reality show that's ever been made. 16 and Pregnant, all those shows. She watches them all.
Because her own life is so embarrassingly dull.
Great to have you back, John.
Thanks, Danny. I appreciate it.
Will you cry when your daughter finishes her last game? Because she is an exceptional athlete. She's a two-sport athlete, and I'm being serious. Will you cry?
Yes. I was crying after her final field hockey game, too. So, yeah, I will. It's tough. You know, we put that
were
much
you
into
the only,
it as,
were
as
you
a
the
family.
Only one crying?
I think so. To be honest with you, I was looking around at all the other dads, and nobody, I had sunglasses on and everything. I had to wipe my eyes constantly. And I'm like, aren't you guys into this? This has just been a great ride. It's been so much fun for the last 4 years. You know, watch your kid play, and on the collegiate level, it's like awesome. You get to travel with all these different colleges, get to watch games. Like, it's ending, fellas. Come on.
He was driving those butterfly kisses, the bedtime prayers.
I was a wreck emotionally for like 3 days. I still am. I get choked up thinking about it.
Well, maybe you could tell Babson that to not fire professors for being sarcastic. Will you tell them that?
Nope, because I'm in athletics, right?
Completely separate.
It's the coddling of the American mind, my friend.
That's right.
All right, leave us with just something like very quickly positive. Just something positive for all the Red Sox fans who, like you, are trying to find a happy place.
Well, I think you have to look at it like there's still a lot of talent on this team. There's no question about it. You know,
for how long?
Probably not going to go.
Trade everybody away.
Yeah, don't interrupt. You told me to get going here. I'll get going.
Sorry, please. Get going.
But you're going to have bets for this year. You're going to have J.D. Martinez.
You hope to get a healthy sale going. David Price is already down there talking to WBG's Johnny Miller. He said he's good to go for only 4 days a week. So, you bring in a guy that can rally everybody, and it's us against the world. We know that mentality and how it works around here in New England. So they've added some depth, some layer depth, which they feel that they can help them as they go out throughout the season here. So there's a lot of good things about this team, and maybe now they rally together, rally in New England together, us against them, and here we go. So I'm psyched for spring training. Can't wait to go into Fort Myers. It's going to be a blast as we look towards a bright future for this Red Sox team. And going forward, Heim Bloom seems like the right guy to lead them. 27 days will be down there as pitchers and catchers report. It'll be a wonderful thing. We'll all have a great time with it. We'll enjoy baseball and watch. When everyone thinks they're down, when everyone thinks they're out, they have a chance to surprise everybody. So who knows? Maybe they can get it done, make the playoffs, and then anything can happen once you make the playoffs. So hang in there, Red Sox fans. It's going to be a blast. Can't wait. Should be a lot of fun. And don't get down. Things will be okay.
All right. Are they going to send you down, or are they going to cheap out again?
I'm going down, Fred. Come on.
Yeah. Daddy. All right, Danny. Finally.
All right. I love you guys.
All right. Well, okay. That ended on your own terms.
Thank you. Sorry.
Well, all right.
You get to end it, Fred. Sorry.
All right. Well, Dan, thank you for so much. We look forward to talking to you again.
Love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. Bye.
And that's a guy who needs a lot of DMs.
And
today.
Then the sun came out.
He needs a lot of DMs.
Sun did come out.
That's
right.
It did.
Right, he talked.
Do yourself a favor. Just at Roachy WBZ. If you got yourself a nice little funny meme of, you know, Toy Story here.
I wonder if he's the first
something
person
from the Pixar catalog. Just to
I wonder if
make
he's the first
smile.
Person ever to cry at a field hockey game.
It's true. I.
Babs in very negative press right now. Very negative press.
That's not athletics, Freddie.
Well, that's a good, healthy way to look at the college education. For $70,000 a year.
The kid's a two-sport star. Back off. That's what I'm focused on.
Yeah. Well, she'll be a professional field hockey player. There's no doubt about it. Oh, boy. Babson looking very, very bad. Jonathan Haidt, the great academic, very hard on them right now.
Hmm.
The coddling of the American mind continues. We will be back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right. There were two stories that were just awesome yesterday. The two funniest stories that happened yesterday. First one being that there is a report that came out from somebody who was begging to get credited for it. Like, when they tweeted it out, it was like, please credit me, saying, what if I told you that Tom Brady moved back into his house in Connecticut? And on top of that, he cleaned out his suite at Gillette, the family suite, like never before. And to that, Tommy Curran, I saw it last night. It was really a clip worth, we should probably play it. They go to Tommy Curran after the clip, and Tommy goes, Tom Brady doesn't own a house in Connecticut. And just stop there.
And I like the idea of the suite being cleaned out.
Like never before.
And like
bless
like,
this mess sign was taken home.
That's right. They had all the tchotchkes and like Goyish roosters.
They finally brought home that souvenir football bucket that they got.
Well, they had the old school Sports Illustrated subscription, so they had the football.
Like
phone.
Never before, Fred. I mean, I'm talking they gave that carpet a real good goosing. I mean, they made sure they got everything out of that rug.
Now, okay, I don't doubt that they might have a suite year-round at Gillette. I just don't know how much personal items that you would put in there.
Well, I mean, Fred, of course, you know, he has his Randy Moss bobblehead that he keeps on there. It basically looks like the desk on Mike and Mike. You know, when you walk in, it's like Tom Brady's just like, oh, man cave, popsicle sign. It's Dan Patrick's place.
I was just going to say.
He's got the old pinball machines in there.
He's the leader in the clubhouse, Dan Patrick.
Tom Brady's got, he kicks a jukebox as he walked in.
In fairness, you're there 8-9 times a year. So, I mean, you got to really snazz it up a little bit.
Fred, you have to understand it was cleaned out like never before. I mean, it's been clean before, but I'm talking now, spick and span.
Well, that's
Like it's that's like white glove treatment.
That's what sources will. He's talking about Hillman put this up, but the thing is that that like it's been cleaned like never before,
like never before.
Like,
Fred.
So like it's been cleaned,
can you imagine calling and trying to verify that? Excuse me. Could you please check out the suite?
Well, obviously the crafts are on top of that. They're out there. They're like, oh, Tom cleaned out his suite.
Curran was trying not to laugh last night. He's like, he doesn't own a house in Connecticut. And just to do due diligence, I called several people who would know. And no, he doesn't. And what's great, too, is that Tom Brady immediately and like Giselle both on the same day put out Instagram messages or tweets that are of them at their Brookline house. So they're just like, it's like, yeah, we're here. There's nothing. Why I don't even know if this house exists.
Oh, because.
But the best is how that person begged for credit. Please credit, like on the tweet thing. It's like, all right, well, you'll get credit for it. For reporting something that doesn't exist, moving to a house that does not exist.
Well, I mean, you got sources. Yeah. You got sources in Gillette.
Ironclad.
That, you know.
When Wiggy is your source, you have issues. By the way, we're going to talk about this new documentary with Aaron Hernandez. I want to just isolate every scene with Wiggy. Because every scene he's in it. Every scene with Wiggy, he says nothing. You know, there's a lot of controversy when Aaron Hernandez got in trouble. And then the Owen Lloyd stuff came out. People were like, oh, man, what is happening here? And that's the clip. It's like, okay. That's some pretty good insight there, Wiggy.
You know, he got arrested.
When he got arrested, people around New England were like, I can't believe he's arrested.
I mean, I was out there trying to get a chicken palm.
I mean, Wiggy's the best.
Yeah, I love Wiggins.
I do too. We love Jermaine Wiggins. But okay, so but that to me was one of the two funny things that happened yesterday. The other story that just ruled is I don't know if you saw the clip that was going around after the national championship game of Odell Beckham Jr. on the sidelines after LSU
paying
had won.
Everyone.
So Odell Beckham Jr. is just walking up to the players on the team, and he's got this massive wad of cash in his hand. And he's going, and he's just, like, rolling out. Like, he's just peeling, like, these dollar bills and just slaps them into their hands. And then giving this big hug, yeah, just going to all these different players and just giving them wads of money, which is just a weird flex. And then yesterday, when it became a story and the video went viral, someone from LSU, the head of athletics from LSU, told The Advocate, the newspaper, that the money that Beckham had handed to the players was fake money.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
I wish you could zoom in. Like, did it have Odell Beckham's head on it?
I kind of like have to say that. I'm thinking the NCAA, as slow as they move, might actually look at that video and go, hey.
It was like a picture of Odell Beckham.
Where does one get fake money?
It was a wad like that. And he had it in this the entire game, like in his pocket.
Yeah. Like where am I going to get fake money?
And the reaction from the players. I mean, it was as if they were handed a wad of fake money.
That's right. It's a $3 bill with Trump's face on it.
Yeah, right.
Have a couple.
No, it's Odell Beckham with two thumbs up, like smiling like this, with a little thing in his teeth, like, you know, a little shine, like that. Yeah, Odell money.
It's funny because they didn't have pockets, so you just had to walk around with the money in your hand OBJ for like a half bucks. An hour. It was fake money.
Well, again, the LSU education, maybe he's not sure.
Well, I mean, it like wasn't orange.
Right.
I don't know.
And it seemed to be shaped the same size as real money.
Yeah, maybe he just went to Kinko's and made a lot of copies of money. Cut them out.
All right, if that's fake money, somebody please send a tweet out of what it looked like. You're telling me these players wouldn't have immediately taken a picture of it, that it somehow wouldn't have gotten out? The best, too, is that after the game, and I can't understand whether or not – I can't figure out yet whether – what's his name? Burroughs is kind of a D-bag yet because he's kind of borderline.
Because he smoked a cigar like a jackass.
It was the cheesiest thing, too. He's like smoking that cigar like this. And apparently the cops came into the locker room and told them all that they weren't allowed to smoke or they'd get arrested, and all the players just laughed at him.
Well, Burroughs it was his last game. It was a job well done. It's time to enjoy a stogie. It's time to sit back and enjoy. And the thing about cigars that has always troubled me is that you're committing to about an hour. You're going outside, and you're outside for an hour. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is no running through that thing. But is Burroughs a douche? Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he did the thing with the fingers where he pointed it, like, what was it? Like, I think he pointed it 10 fingers, and it was like, and then he did this thing, like he threw a dime.
Oh, well.
I believe that might have been what it was.
Good. Well, I hope he fails in the NFL.
Or he moves to his house in Connecticut that doesn't exist.
I wonder if he goes to Cincinnati, if he'll clean out his box.
Well, I mean, as long as it's spick and span, like never before.
It's funny, they had someone on ESPN yesterday, and they're like, who do you think's the better prospect, Burrows or the kid from Clemson? And three of the four people said Burrows. Like, have you been paying attention to college football? It's the first time that kid lost.
But Burrows just had the best season in college football history.
I understand that, but the kid from Clemson is considered by gurus.
Except for these guys.
The best prospect since Elway.
It's not a crazy take, though, to say that he's better. I mean,
No, a better pro, a better prospect. I that is a crazy take. Well, Burrow's transferred, right?
Yes. Joe Burrow was a transfer to LSU.
Somebody said he was handing out shroot bucks.
Yeah. What did they serve you in the prison? Gruel. Gruel sandwiches. I've seen so many episodes of The Office, it's disgusting.
That show, I mean, you want to talk about a show that ages like a fine wine. That show just gets better as the years go on.
By the way, Saved by the Bell yesterday, I watched the teen line one. And so Zach was with the chick in a wheelchair, and he like couldn't stop talking about it, which I'm sure thrilled the girl in the wheelchair. And they had this was a Tory episode. And so not only did they start a teen line, which is really good for people with mental problems to call and talk to 14-year-old kids, but also they had a rap session room where everyone in high school would go, where you can tell your peers all your problems. But it all started with Zach. He was with a girl in a wheelchair. He wanted everyone to know. This girl in a wheelchair, we're together. And I am Zach from the...
That episode is the weirdest thing ever.
From the such and such tribe. I made my kid watch it. I made my kids watch it last night. And Stephanie wouldn't sit down, so I threw a fit until she'd sit down and watch it. And then my son like thought it
what
was...
What did you do? Exactly.
And then my son thought it was really good and kept telling me to shut up.
He was into the storyline.
What did you do to Stephanie to try and browbeat her to sit down?
I'm like, it's 22 minutes. I'm like, just sit. I have to tell you what's going on in this episode. You're not going to understand it.
So Stephanie was like, no, I'm not interested. And by the way,
she didn't mind you saying you're not going to understand this?
Yeah. I mean, she knows. and by the way, the teen line, it was Lisa, Screech, Zach, Tori, and...
I forgot about Tori. Yeah.
And the one from North Farmington. And Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
No one else exists. That was all, everyone. They're like, we got to help out. We got to have a team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will be back. The Aaron Hernandez documentary started on Netflix. We'll talk about that.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.